Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. If you've not already, I do encourage you to check out our other podcasts. We have The Amazing World of Radio, which is a series of mini-series that I've done on a variety of seasons, as well as radio topics. Among them, we have our Summer of Bogart, our great film adaptations over radio, and we also have Les Miserables starring Orson Welles. You can check out all of those at amazing.greatdetectives.net. And you can also enjoy our video theater, which is the video version of this podcast. We go back and forth generally with an episode of Dragnet and an episode of Boston Blackie every month on television. Just go to videotheater.greatdetectives.net to get those videos automatically delivered to you. And if you like classic comics as well as new comics that are good, then be sure and check out the Classic Comics Podcast at classiccomicsguy.com as we search for the best comics in the universe. All right, it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, October the 15th, 1947. And this one is Joe Crane, Hired Killer.
Mr. Peterson, Joe Crane.
Oh, just a minute.
Come in, quick.
It's okay, Mr. Peterson. There's nobody on the street. Nobody saw me.
You sure no one saw you?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I hope you're right. You're right on time. It's exactly 5 o'clock.
Well, you hired me for 5 in the afternoon, so here I am at 5 sharp. Want to get started right away?
Yes, the sooner we get it over with, the better. There's the rope and something to gag me with. Can tie me to this chair here.
Okay. You just sit down and take it easy, Mr. Peterson. Law be over before you know it.
All right. Tie me good and tight, Joe. I want this to look like the real thing.
Right, I'm doing just that. Ropes feel tight, don't they?
Oh, so they do.
Well, don't worry then, Mr. Peterson. This job will look McCoy enough to fool the smartest cops in town. But you're tied in that chair so tight, you're practically part of it. All right, which room's your wife in?
That one right there. Now put the gag on me and kill her in a hurry, will you?
You leave everything to me, Mr. Peterson. Gag on, good and tight? Oh, I guess it's on good enough. That the door to your wife's room right there, huh? Okay. Hey, Mrs. Peterson.
Yes?
Come on out here.
Who is it?
It's me, Joe. Joe Crane.
Oh, what do you want? What have you done to Arnold?
Nothing he didn't want me to do.
What are you talking about?
Just this. He hired me to come in and tie him up and gag him.
What on earth for?
So that then I could kill you. He'd have an alibi.
Oh, no.
No, huh? Well, that's what you think. This husband of yours is no good.
I'm beginning to believe that.
Well, in that case, stick around and watch me kill him. You might have some fun.
You're not going to kill him.
You better not make any bets on things you say. I never saw a woman so wrong in my life.
Don't kill him. Please don't kill him.
How do you like that? A guy hires me to kill his wife. She begs me not to knock him off.
I don't want you to bother.
Huh?
Leave him to me. I'll take care of him myself.
And now meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Blackie, I've come to see you because I'm in terrible...
I know what you're in, Mr. Smith. Terrible trouble. But take my advice instead of my help and go to the police, will you?
Do the police lend money to strangers?
No, neither do I. Is that what you want from me, money?
Money or help?
Of the two, I prefer giving you help. But if it's money you want, why don't you go to a bank?
I can't.
Why not?
Well, it's like this.
Yeah?
I owe Arnold Peterson $50,000. Now, if I could go to a bank and get a loan for my business, I'd be able to pay Peterson back within 6 or 8 months.
Uh-huh.
But Peterson wants his money right now.
Why?
Well, because he knows I can't pay him right now. And if I go to a bank for the money, he'll block the loan.
It doesn't make any sense, Mr. Smith. Peterson wants his $50,000. He ought to let you borrow it.
Well, if all he wanted was his $50,000, he'd wait a few months for it. What he really wants is to ruin me and put me out of business. That's why he's demanding immediate payment of the money I owe him. That's why he'll block any loan I try to get from a bank or a finance company.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, either lend me the money or try to persuade Peterson to give me time. Oh, Blackie, Peterson's made my life miserable ever since we had a run-in in our early days.
I still don't see what I can do. I haven't the kind of money you
Will
need,
you
and I...
Will you see Peterson and talk to him and try to reason with him?
Well, I'm busy on another matter right now, but can I call him later? What's his phone number?
Eastern 99898.
Wait a minute, I'll write that down. Eastern 99898. All right. I'll call him in an hour or so and then get in touch with you by phone and let you know what happened. Will you be home?
Yes, and I have a phone and I'll be waiting for your call. Bye.
All right, Smith. Goodbye and be a good boy.
Homicide, Faraday speaking.
Inspector Faraday?
Yes, Inspector Faraday.
Inspector, this is a friend.
Well, what do you want, friend?
Nothing at all. I just want to give you a little tip.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Good idea, Inspector. This is a friendly little tip.
Yeah, I know, from a friend. You said that. Now, what's on your mind?
Listen, Killer Joe Crane's in town, Inspector. Just got in. You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah, I know exactly what that means. When Joe Crane comes to town, a murder comes right after.
Isn't anybody yet? Well, Arnold Peterson, if you want something to see. You don't mind a visit from your old friend Bill Smith, do you, Arnold? I can't understand what you're saying. Not a word behind that gag. Hey, wait a minute, I'll take it off. What happened here, Arnold? This house is a mess, and where's your wife? There. You feel good with the gag off?
Yes. Thanks a lot, Bill. You want to know where my wife is?
Yes.
That double-crosser female ran off and left me.
Well, and tied you up first?
No, she had help in that department. Untie me, will you, Bill?
Why, sure.
I'm sure glad you came along. Might have sat in this chair till I starved to death.
Well, that would be an unpleasant way to die, wouldn't it?
Is there a way that's pleasant? Untie me, will you?
I'm not sure I will, Arnold. I just got an idea.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Not what I came here to talk about. The money I owe you, I didn't expect to find you tied to a chair, the house in a mess, and Sally gone.
Look, will you untie these ropes?
No, Arnold, I won't. I've just had a wonderful idea. Know what this is, Arnold?
Put that gun away, you fool.
I will after I've used it on you.
Don't, Bill. Don't be an idiot. Nobody ever gets away with murder.
But I'm not a nobody, Arnold, and I've just had an idea.
But then
I'm going to get away with a perfect alibi.
Bill, don't.
And I'm going to get that alibi from Boston Blackie.
You might hurry, you know, Blackie. It isn't everybody I'd come to pick up and then wait for.
It's just 7:30 now. I'm not late. Be with you in just a minute, Mary. Then off to dinner we go. Fair enough?
Oh, fair enough. I think... Oh, all I know is that that isn't the dinner bell.
Get the phone. It won't be a second.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Blackie?
Yeah?
This is Bill Smith.
Hi, Bill. Say, I've been meaning to call you. I tried to reach your friend Arnold Peterson, but no one answers the phone at his place.
Well, that's what I wanted to find out. I thought perhaps you'd gotten to him and had something encouraging to tell me that... Just a minute. I'll be right there.
What's the matter?
There's somebody at the door. Would you call me back in a minute or so?
Well, sure. What's your number?
Oakville 41561.
A little in the suburbs, huh? Okay, Smith. Go answer your door. I'll call you right back. One more second now, Mary. Just want to call Bill Smith back, and then we'll go.
Uh-huh. Operator?
Operator, I want Oakville 41561, please.
Oakville 41561. Just a minute, please.
Hello?
This is Blackie, Bill.
Yeah?
Now, what was it you wanted to say to me?
Oh, about Peterson. I just wanted to be sure you called the right number.
Well, I called the number you gave me, Eastern 99898. I dialed it myself.
That's the right number, all right. I can't understand why it doesn't answer.
Neither can I. But I'll catch up with him later. Take it easy, Bill. When I promise to do a guy a favor, I do him a favor.
You don't know what a favor you've done me already.
All right, you guys, get those fingerprints down to headquarters for checking.
Here's a picture of Peterson's wife, Inspector Faraday.
Let me see.
I found some papers in the desk that show her name before she married him was Crane.
Crane, huh, Matthews? Yeah. Well, that's a coincidence, isn't it? I got a tip that Killer Joe Crane has come to town, and the husband of a Crane is found dead. Did you send out an alarm to pick up Crane and Peterson's wife? She's obviously on the run.
We'll have men watching every railroad station, bus, and air terminal.
That's fine.
Oh, by the way, Sergeant Williams talked to the woman next door. I think we know the time of death.
Good.
She says she heard what sounded like three shots at 7:30. And Peterson was shot three times.
And the noise came from here?
Yep.
Well, that fits with the coroner's preliminary report on the time of death. He was killed at 7:30, all right. Now, let's see.
Hello, Faraday. Guess who?
I know who, and without turning around. Now, get out of here, Blackie.
Oh, Faraday, you don't mean that, do you? Who makes jokes for you when I'm not around?
Nobody. And you better make tracks, right now.
I wouldn't leave for anything, Faraday. I heard on my car radio you needed my help, so I came right over. I could tell you the name of your killer, Faraday, Bill Smith, guy with a motive to kill Peterson, wasn't 30 miles away from here when Peterson was shot.
How do you know when Peterson was shot?
I heard Matthews here say the time was 7:30. And the man I have in mind was 30 miles away from here at 7:30. I know, because I called his house and talked to him on the phone. Who do you think did it, Barney?
I don't know. But Killer Joe Crane is in town, and Peterson's wife's name used to be Crane.
Really? Maybe so, but I have a hunch that Crane is not the bird who did this job.
Time this just right, Sally.
Yeah.
This cab will get us to the station only a couple of minutes before train time.
The station will be full of cops, won't it, Joe?
Maybe, but we won't be there long enough for them to spot us. Sally, you did a nice job.
You didn't do such a bad job yourself, Joe.
No. I guess we couldn't have done better. Now, look. As soon as the cab drives up in front of the station, I'll pay the guy. We'll separate.
Uh-huh.
That should be about 3 minutes before train time.
All right.
You go right in, head for the gates. I'll wait outside until you're out of sight. Because it could be the cops know I'm with you and be looking for a man and a woman together.
Oh, we're coming to the station. I'm nervous, Joe.
I don't know. Now, look, you carry a small bag here. I'll bring the big one.
You're going to get on the train, aren't you?
Oh, sure. I'll meet you in the club car just after the train pulls out. Yeah, driver. It's all right, keep it, Sherry.
Yeah, thanks, Mac.
Hurry up, Joe.
It's all right, Sally. Yeah. Still plenty of time. Train leaves on track 6. That's the gate just beyond the information board.
Yeah, I see.
Now remember, just walk through the station straight to the gate. I won't duck out on you. I'll be in the club car just as I said.
All right, Joe. Good luck.
Yeah, same to you, honey.
Oh,
now beat it. Is he on the train? We can celebrate.
Be careful, Joe.
Don't worry. I'll be okay.
Just a minute, lady.
Oh, say, what's the idea? Let go
police
of my arm.
Police department, lady. Wait, you're Mrs. Peterson,
Jay.
Aren't you?
Yes, but Joe! Joe, look out, it's the police!
Oh, so he's with you, huh?
Stop that man! Stop that man!
Let go of me, will you? Let go! Why do you want me?
No reason to get excited about, Mrs. Peterson. Just a little matter of murder.
Now, back to Boston Blackie. Arnold Peterson plots to have himself alibied by Joe Crane, whom he hired to kill his wife. But Crane refuses to kill Mrs. Peterson, and both she and Crane later attempt to leave town. Bill Smith, in the meantime, finds the helpless husband and indicates he will kill him. Boston Blackie knows that Smith has a motive to kill the dead man, but he also knows that he made a phone call to Smith at his home, 30 miles from the scene of the crime, at almost the time of the murder. Mrs. Peterson is arrested, and as we return to our story, Blackie is searching for Joe Crane, believed to be the wife's accomplice.
Hey, Tiny! Can a guy get something to eat in this dive of yours?
Well, well. Every damn Boston's Blackie. Uptown guy with a lowdown on every bad guy in the world.
Well, the lowdown on you is you've been a pretty good boy since I cleared you of that murder rap 2 years ago.
Oh, you was a good guy to help me beat that, Blackie. But I was innocent, and you always help guys who are being framed.
I sure try, Tiny.
Well, you done it. And I kept my promise, Blackie. I've been a good guy ever since. What you doing on the waterfront? Looking for trouble?
No, I'm looking for Joe Crane.
Looking for Crane in trouble is the same thing, Blackie.
But you're going to tell me where I can find him, aren't you? You know, as a sort of a favor for me, for the favor I did for you.
Oh. Sure, Blackie, sure. You're a good guy, and I'll help you out. Joe's got a room at the Front Street Hotel, number 10.
Front Street Hotel, room number 10.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Tiny, and here's a 10 for you. So long.
Oh, thanks, Blackie. You're a good guy.
Before you're too sure of that, you better find out if that 10 is good.
Always making jokes, eh, Blackie? Hey, Pete. Pete.
Oh, yeah, Tiny?
Stop with that piano. Come here.
Yeah. What do you want, Tiny?
You see that good-looking guy was just in there?
Yeah, it was Boston Blackie, wasn't it? Who's he looking for?
Joe Crane.
Huh?
I told him Crane was at the Front Street Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Crane ain't there, of course. But you run up to Wilson's rooming house and tell Crane that he better duck, because Blackie's looking for him.
Okay.
And Pete.
Yeah?
Here's $10 for yourself.
Yeah.
I can't take no money from a guy and then double-cross him. I promised Blackie I'd be honest.
Who's that?
It's me, Joe. Pete. The piano player from down at Tiny's place.
What do you want?
Open up and I'll tell you.
Okay. Come on in. What's up?
Boston Blackie's looking for you, Joe. Kind of gave him a bum steer, but you better get another hideout just the same.
Next place he goes is with me.
Blackie!
Quick, Pete, close the door.
You're too late. I'm already in. And thanks for leading me here, Pete. I didn't think Tiny was telling me the truth.
Pete, you dumb piano player, you.
Ah, we can take care of this guy, Joe.
He's too quick for a piano player. Pete! Pete!
Oh, now, Blackie, now...
Oh,
now,
yeah? Well, glad I follow my hunches, Joe. When I saw this guy come out of Tiny's place in such a hurry, I figured I'd follow my hunch and him. And I did, and he led me to you.
So what?
So take a look at him down there on the floor. You want to go down with him, Joe?
No.
Then you're going down with me, down to police headquarters. I forgot to tell you, Crane. Inspector Faraday likes quiet in his office.
And you be quiet, too, Blackie.
Inspector, is that the way to talk to me after I brought Joe Crane in for you?
I found Mrs. Peterson here myself. I could have found Joe, too.
All right, let's not argue about who found whom and where. Let's find out who killed Peterson.
I think they both did.
I tell you, I didn't kill Arnold. He was alive when I left the house.
And I didn't kill him. He was alive when I left, and I left before Sally did.
Oh, it's Sally, is it, Crane?
Yeah.
Since when does murder breed familiarity?
Sally here's my ex-wife. That's one of the reasons Peterson knew about me. But what he didn't know was I couldn't kill a dame, even if she is my ex-wife.
That's some logic.
Well, what's wrong? I never killed a dame, and I'm never going to. And I didn't kill Arnold. But maybe she did, though. After I left, she shot him.
Oh, no, you killed him after I left. You came down to my place afterwards and said you wanted to go to Chicago.
Oh, sure, right, did. But Blackie, she even told me before I left the house that she was going to take care of him herself.
What do you mean by that, Mrs. Peterson?
I meant I was going to leave my husband.
Well, you left him all right. You left him dead.
He was alive when I left the house. I didn't kill him. Joe did.
You did!
You did!
Quiet, quiet! Not going to go through all that again. I'm arresting you both on suspicion of murder. Blackie.
Yes?
What about your friend, Bill Smith? From what you told me, he had every reason to kill Peterson.
Sure he did. But Peterson was killed at 7:30. I called Smith's house in the suburbs and talked to him at 7:30. If Smith is our killer, he's got the greatest alibi I ever heard. Me. I'm not going to leave my apartment, Mary, until I get an answer to this thing.
Oh? Just how long do you think you can stand it up here, Blackie? 1 or 2 years?
The case does look just about that tough. Well, I don't know why. And I'm sure neither Joe Crane nor Mrs. Peterson killed Peterson. But if they didn't, I don't know who did, unless it was Smith. And he couldn't have done it.
No, I'm sure I don't know anything, and I'm not going to try to figure it out either. My hair will be gray soon enough as it is.
Come in.
Oh. Hello, Blackie.
Oh, Smith, good morning. Come on in.
Thank you. Blackie, I just... I didn't know you had company or I had a phone.
This is Mary Wesley, Miss Wesley. Mr. Smith.
Dear Miss Wesley.
Dear Mrs. Smith.
Blackie, I just dropped in for a minute. I thought you'd be glad to know I got a bank loan today.
I'm glad to hear it, Smith. I suppose your troubles are over?
Yes, they are, with Peterson out of the way.
You know, I'd consider you a number one prospect if I hadn't called you at your house at almost the same time Peterson was killed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I had every reason in the world to kill Peterson, but I'm glad you know I didn't.
I'm positive you didn't. Unless you could go the 30 miles from your house to Peterson's in the matter of 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes, well, humans aren't equipped with jet propulsion just yet, Blackie. Well, I won't impose any longer. Goodbye, Blackie, and glad to have met you, Miss Wesley.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
See you again sometime, Blackie.
Could be. Goodbye.
Blackie, something about that man I don't like.
Something about this case I don't like.
Of course. The fact you can't solve it.
Mary, Smith is a perfect suspect.
Oh?
Oh, I'd like to figure out how he could be at home at 7:30 and still kill Peterson 30 miles away at that time. He was home. I know. I phoned him.
I was here, remember?
Oh, yes. Say.
Blackie? I don't like the look on your face.
And somebody's not going to like the idea that just popped into my mind. Mary, go to your apartment, then in an hour, dial the operator and ask her to ring my number.
Oh, all right, but what for?
Never mind. Call me crazy if you want to. But I'm going to break this case wide open when you call me on the phone. I know I saw you at my apartment just a little while ago, Smith, but... in the last hour, I've been doing a little thinking about you.
Well, I hope it's complimentary, Blackie.
It's complicated, Smith. Now, in spite of the fact that I called you here at your house at exactly the same moment Peterson was killed 30 miles from here, I think you killed him.
Oh, Blackie, please.
Now, listen, I don't mean any...
excuse me. Hello.
Hello, Blackie?
Oh, no, just a minute. Blackie, it's for you.
Oh, thanks. I've been expecting this call. Don't go away, Smith. I'm not through with you.
I'm not going anywhere. Just over here to give you a little privacy.
Okay. Hello, Mary.
Oh, hello, Blackie. Well, I'm in my apartment, and it's been an hour, so I did what you told me to do.
You dialed the operator and asked her to ring my number?
Mm-hmm. Plaza 10710. So what have you proved?
Plenty, Mary. Do you have any idea where I am?
In your apartment, of course. The operator rang your number.
I'm in Bill Smith's house, Mary, out in the suburbs.
What?
But if I didn't tell you so, you'd believe that I was in my apartment, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I certainly would.
I'll talk to you later. Call Faraday and tell him I'm bringing in Peterson's killer. Okay, Smith, let's go.
Go, Blackie? Where?
To headquarters.
What?
I'm turning you over to Faraday for the murder of Arnold Peterson.
Oh, now, Blackie, let's not start.
I know you killed him, Smith. And I know why I thought you were here at the time Peterson was murdered.
But I was here. You talked to me over the phone, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, that's right. But you were in Peterson's house when I talked to you. I know how you worked it, too.
You do?
First you phoned me, then pretended someone was at the door and asked me to call you back in a few minutes.
Well, that's interesting, if true.
It is true, all of it. Before I called you back, you phoned the operator and asked her to switch all calls for your Oakville number to Peterson's number.
And?
And that's exactly what was done when I called back. Then, as soon as you'd established that you were at home, you hung up and shot Peterson.
You don't know that that could even be done.
I know it can be done because I just did it.
Oh?
That was Mary Wesley on the phone just then. I talked to the telephone company before I got here. And when she asked the operator for my number, she got me here at your house.
Well, I
Hey, Smith, I told you not to go away.
I'm not going where you want me
no.
to go.
Oh, no. That's the way I like murderers. Down and out.
Blackie, before I go, I want to thank you for helping me.
Well, I wasn't necessarily helping you, Mrs. Peterson. I was just trying to find out who killed your husband. Incidentally, I'm waiting in Faraday's office to read a copy of Smith's confession. Don't you want to wait here with me?
Well, yes. Well, the sooner I get out of here, the better. My ex-husband, Joe, you know, has been sent back to Kansas.
Well, that's because he's wanted out there for the same kind of thing that we thought he was wanted for here.
Well, I'm glad he didn't kill Arnold. I'm glad you could prove who did, even though Arnold always threatened to kill me. Did Mr. Smith really kill my husband?
Yes, he made a complete confession, Mrs. Peterson, and the telephone company verified my theory that he had them switch all phone calls from his Oakville number to your number. That's how I could phone his number and think I was talking to him at home when actually he was at your house.
Probably standing over Arnold's body.
No, he didn't kill your husband until a minute or two after I phoned him. He knew I was going to phone him back because he'd asked me to. And he waited for my call knowing that I'd give him the perfect alibi.
Well, it wasn't so perfect, Blackie. He was caught just the same.
They're all caught, Mrs. Peterson. And a murderer always gets paid off, you know. Not in currency, of course. Just in current.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, this is a case where Blackie could have contacted the phone company and found out if he actually set up the call forwarding, or whatever they called that back in 1947, before going and propagating the theory. Because it would be something if you go through the whole theory and said, yeah, we called the phone company and he didn't do anything like that. But having done that, that leaves pretty incontrovertible evidence of your guilt. We turn now to listener comments and feedback and have an email here from Charles who writes, I listen to your Great Detectives podcast. Could you add Box 13 to it? Well, thanks so much for the email, Charles. And in answer to the question, Box 13 was actually the very first regular episode of the series. So it's already been added in that way. Whether we'll revisit it, well, we'll save that question for another time. Certainly, we're going to have an opportunity to when listeners help pick our top 20 series that we'll be doing revisits for in celebration of the 10th anniversary. More to come on that. next year. All right, that'll do it for now. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.